Let's see if you all can finish out my phrase here. Practice makes perfect. Yes, practice makes perfect. Most of us have heard that statement, and we use it to encourage people to keep trying, to don't quit, to do the hard work, and if you do, you will gradually get better. So whether you're talking to somebody who is in school or in sports or at work or maybe in marriage counseling, whether you're talking to somebody who is working on personal disciplines in their life or even learning a musical instrument, you will often hear people say, practice makes perfect. Now, I don't want to totally mess up a great motivational phrase if it's working for you, but I'm not entirely sure that's true. What if you're practicing wrong? Practicing the wrong way leads to perfecting the wrong thing. Now, that might be another form of perfection. Like, we could be perfectly wrong, but I don't think that's a good goal to shoot for. So a great example of my concern would be learning to play golf. If somebody starts with bad form and bad habits and bad technique, and then they just reinforce all of those things with more and more practice, they're not going to be shooting par. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, the issue there is perfection is about more than just practicing. And let's pause for a moment on that word perfection. Consider this to be my confession to you. Maybe it's group therapy at this moment, but I'm going to be completely honest. I don't know if I've ever done anything perfect in my life. That's a really high goal. In fact, when I think about that idea of perfect, I'm like, I'm going to try hard. I'm going to do the best that I possibly can. But over the course of my life, historically, my life and experience seems to align more with some other phrases. Phrases like, close enough for government work. Done is better than perfect. Or one of my favorites, I gave it the old college try. Okay, I'm going to do the best I possibly can, but perfect has rarely been in my wheelhouse. So instead of practice makes perfect, I am more comfortable with our key idea that is in your notes. And that is right practice produces better results. Right practice produces better results. That seems more accurate based on reality as well as accurate based on experience. Now, all of that is leading into our message this morning. Today, we are wrapping up our Finding Rest series, and hopefully the series has been encouraging and enlightening and edifying for each of you. And we have covered a lot within the past 5 weeks. Now, prior to this series, somebody might have been able to say, I struggle to find rest because I don't know what God says on the topic of rest. That cannot be an excuse right now. At this point, you have more biblical insight on rest than 95% of Christians on this planet. And yes, I just made that stat up myself, but that's okay. I still feel completely convinced in what I just shared. I cannot tell you how many people in the past 2 months have come up to me and they've said, I have rarely heard the church ever address rest, much less do an entire series on rest. And we have covered the gamut within this series. We have studied seventh-day rest, Sabbath rest, symbolic rest, soul rest, and supreme rest. We have worked through the story of Sabbath. We've seen how God's rest in creation laid the foundation for all biblical rest. We have explored the many facets of God's rest and how all of those impact every single believer. We've talked about the work below the work, and if you don't address that, you're not going to rest. We've talked about how rest is about more than not working. We've pulled out 14 principles of rest all the way from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, and that's just a little bit of what we've covered. So I'm going to say it again. At this point, this group has more biblical insight on rest than 95% of Christians who are out there. But listen, insight alone will not change your life. Knowing about rest is not the same as experiencing rest. For us to experience rest, it means we have to apply what we've learned. And to apply what we've learned means we have to practice. Right practice produces better results. So how do you practice the right way? If you're trying to regain control of your calendar, if you are trying to find more time to spend with family, more time to spend with God, if you recognize that there is a crazy imbalance in your life between work and rest, where do you start right now? You got a lot of information at this point. Where do you start? That's what today is all about. We are going to walk through what I'm going to consider to be a practice verse. Everything in this verse is about practicing what we've talked about so far. And then I'm going to walk you all through four brand new, hot off the press, resources that are going to be available to you. It's going to be a morning of thought, application, bringing pieces together. I'm so excited I can hardly stand myself. So before I have an aneurysm up here, I'm going to ask you all, go with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Verse 11. I am addressing the topic today of practicing the rhythms of rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. The text says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. That's so short, we're going to go through it again. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, the rest that's been talked about this whole time, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, please walk us through your word today. Lord, may there be light bulb moments going off in people's minds as all the pieces are coming together and we see the practical side of how it applies in everyday life. Lord, we need you in order to help all those pieces come together. In Jesus' name, amen. So this one verse addresses my concern about proper practice. Not only are we to put in the work, the text says practicing with diligence or doing this with diligence, but we are to also avoid the wrong examples. It says don't follow the same example of disobedience. Now, we have studied this verse for two previous weeks with all the other surrounding verses, and today we're actually going to focus on this one verse, verse number 11, and see how it provides three truths about practicing God's word to enter God's rest. Practicing God's word to enter God's rest. So here's the first of those truths that are in your notes. The way to practice is with diligence. The way to practice is with diligence. Now, I want you to write this other verse off to the side because there's two verses in Hebrews that need to go side by side at this point. Hebrews 4:11, that's the text that we're primarily studying today, and also Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to make the connection here in just a moment. Let's start with our primary text, Hebrews 4:11. It uses the phrase, let us be diligent. Okay, that same phrase is also translated, let us labor, let us work towards, or let us make every effort. It's not only a challenge to apply the truths, to be diligent in our practice of these truths, but there's an urgency that comes with this. It describes somebody who is zealously pushing towards something. They're focused on it. They're making strides. They're diligent. They're working towards a particular end. Diligence is the exact opposite of drifting. Drifting just happens. There's no effort. There's no thought. There's no focus. If you get in a nice lazy river at an amusement park somewhere, you don't have to do anything. You just sit in an inner tube and it'll just kind of pull you around the whole park. Same thing going down the river. You just sit in a tube and you can just drift down the whole river. It doesn't take energy. It doesn't take focus. It doesn't take direction on your side. That's drifting. Now, here's the reason I bring up that word drift. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says this. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard. Pause there. The writer of Hebrews has just addressed that original audience and them hearing God's word. And he's talking about how it is that they're receiving. He says, we have to pay closer attention to what we have heard, hearing God's word, so that we do not drift away from it. Do you see what he's saying? Instead of drifting away from God's word and the benefits that come with it, now we get to Hebrews chapter 4, and he says, let's be diligent to move forward in what God has said, to experience the benefits that come from that. So how do we diligently apply God's word to receive its benefits? Well, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it gives us part of the clues. What we would find in that text is pay attention to what God said. You and I will never apply God's word or receive the benefits that come from it if we don't pay attention to what God's saying. Like that, that's as clear and as simple as we can possibly make it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, it gives another part of the clues, and that is believe what God said. Everything that we found so far in Hebrews 4 and much of what we saw back in Hebrews chapter 3 was focused on believing what God said. Do not live in unbelief. Believe what God said. Believe what God said. The text shows us the importance of believing. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 3 talks about Israel hearing God's word about Canaan and how they responded. And here's what it says. It did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. They did not believe God's word. And the Bible tells us a generation fell in the wilderness. Then Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11 gives another clue. That is, apply what God said. Now somebody might say, Paul, are you telling me I have to work? I have to practice? I have to apply all of this in order to enter God's rest? Yes and no. Listen to the no first. No in the sense we are not working for the rest or to create the rest. God has already done the work on that side. Yes, in the sense that we are working to enter that rest and to experience that rest. It takes work to get past all the distractions in life that are around you. It takes work to get past the demands of culture. It takes work to get past the internal and external voices of condemnation that are saying, you got to do more, you got to try harder, you got to keep going. It takes work to get past the need to prove ourselves, to God, and to others. It takes work. It takes practice. So we diligently work to apply God's word. Like the old Irishman who once said, I'm going to have peace in my house even if I got to fight for it. In a similar sense, you and I are going to have God's rest even if we have to work for it. It seems like opposing ideas, but there is a part of effort that comes in here. The way to practice is with diligence. Second piece, the goal of practice is to enter God's rest. The goal, it's to enter God's rest. I know it sounds so easy, it's simple, but we have to be clear. The goal is not to just know about God's rest. It's not just to memorize verses about God's rest. It's not just to do a Bible study on God's rest and say, man, there was some great stuff I learned about God's rest. The goal is enter that rest. He's saying, be diligent to enter that rest. The goal is not to hear about it, to see it, to smell it, to taste it, and not experience that rest for yourself. So think of it like this. Let's say you're not feeling well, and you go to a doctor for help. And the doctor properly diagnoses your situation, prescribes medicine, and you refuse to take the medicine. And yes, that does happen a lot. Think of it like this. Medicine in the bottle will not help the sickness in your body. It's just going to sit there. You're going to keep on being sick, keep on feeling bad. All the while, there's an answer sitting out there for you. Okay, take that idea. Let's bring it into this context. It's good to know you got a problem with rest. That's a part of the battle. It's good to bring that problem to God for an answer. The Bible says, cast all your cares on Him. He cares for you. It's good to know that there are biblical answers for everyday problems. All of that is important. But the answers in His Word won't help the problems in your life if you don't apply His answers to your life. You have to live it out. We must apply what God has shared, and in doing so, it leads us towards the goal of entering His rest. So the way to practice is with diligence. The goal of practice is to enter God's rest. And here's the third piece. The warning of practice is don't repeat the same mistakes. Don't repeat the same mistakes. Do you know life is too short to make all the mistakes yourself? Life is too short not to learn from those who have walked before you. So go back to my introductory thoughts. If we repeat the same mistakes in practice, we are following the wrong example. We're practicing the wrong way that leads to the wrong results. So notice what it says in verse number 11. According to verse 11, that causes us to fall by following the same example of disobedience. We can learn from those who have walked before us. So what are we to learn from those who walked before us? We've been studying it in the text so far. What did we learn? We learn that those who refused to believe God's word about Canaan, they suffered some devastating consequences. According to chapter 3, verse 17, their bodies fell in the wilderness. Notice the wording in the text. The writer of Hebrews is saying, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall. There's a connection going back over here. He's saying, look at what's happened in the past. Others heard God. They did not believe God. They fell in the wilderness apart from God's promise. Be diligent to enter His rest so that you and I do not fall by following the same example of disobedience. It's a clear connection back to the children of Israel once again. So at this point, we now have three truths on how to practice what we've heard so far. Number one is the way to practice is with diligence. Number two, the goal of practice is to enter God's rest. Number three, the warning of practice is don't repeat the same mistakes. Now you may be thinking, Paul, I have no idea how I'm going to remember all of this. Like, we've covered a lot, and I hear what you're saying. It makes sense what you're saying. I don't know how we're going to remember all of this. Is there an easy way to remember and to apply what we've heard? The answer is yes. And for the low, low price of $19.95, I'm kidding. We come back to our free resources that we are providing for you all in this. These four resource cards that are going to be made available outside in the atrium at the Connection Center right after the service, these four cards help you practice with diligence, remind you of the goal, and also so that you don't repeat the same mistakes. These resources, like I said, they are available for free right outside. We encourage you pick up a copy of each one. We ask that you just pick up a copy of each one, not a stack, for the possible friends you might hand them to. We want to make sure everybody who's here gets a copy of these. And also to help make sure that you know how they work together, as well as that you got the whole set. They are not only nicely labeled, but they are conveniently marked as 1 of 4, 2 of 4, 3 of 4, 4 of, I need that too. Yes, I need every helpful way possible not to mess things up. So these cards are marked to help us apply the pieces that we have walked through so far. So also, if you happen to be a digital person, all of these are available for free on our website. And all of these are a part of Vine Resources. So let me pause there for just a moment. Vine Resources are quick reference guides for biblical topics. Now, the reason I'm explaining this is because you might wonder, why in the world do we provide these cards? I'll tell you why we provide these cards. Because there are times that you hear a message on a Sunday, and that message is maybe not what you're going through, and you're like, that's true, but I don't need it. So you don't take copious notes on that day, or any notes on that day. And then 3 weeks go by, and all of a sudden you're facing that exact problem, and you need that exact truth. But at that point, you don't remember what sermon it was in. You don't remember what day it was preached. You might not even remember what series it was a part of. And you're like, I know I need the truth, but where do I go to find it? Vine Resources is here for you. Okay, what we're doing on these things is we're trying to pull out key pieces that people are going to need to look back at and to reference over and over and over again. It's pieces that are part of the Christian life. And you might not remember all the messages or where they came from, but if you know where the resources are in your house, that's another challenge, that's on you. If you know where they're at in your house, that's a great way to be able to go through it. It's references for this incredible Christian life. Now, at the same time, I said all of these are free, but let's say somebody has not picked up the others. They want a way to be able to protect their resources, keep them all together. You can drop by out at our bookstore out there. You can pick up one of the different little binders. It's a very simple binder, nicely priced, and all of those previous resources are already in there for you. Do you see what we're trying to do? We're trying to help. We're trying to help. So just in case you're wondering, what were the previous resources? Here's just some of those that have been released. We've released resources on interpreting Scripture, understanding the context of the Bible, how to study the Bible devotionally, how to reflect on a sermon as a disciple of Jesus Christ, God's view of biblical manhood, God's view of biblical womanhood, our identity in Christ, the paths of wisdom and foolishness, the attributes of the Holy Spirit, how to recognize God's voice as opposed to Satan's voice. And then today, we're adding four new pieces into this lineup: understanding Sabbath, principles for rest, preparing for rest, and practicing rest. So at this point, we're going to walk through those different pieces. I want you to see exactly how the pieces fit together. So, talking first about understanding Sabbath, that would be this first card. It is one of four. Now, this is a quick reference guide for the word Sabbath as it is found throughout Scripture. We understand that the word Sabbath is a key word in the Old Testament, and it's also a key word for rest in the New Testament as well. So we felt like it would be really good that there is one basic overview of one of the primary words found in Scripture for the topic of rest. So on the front of the card, it is Sabbath in the Old Testament for Israel. You turn it over, it's Sabbath in the New Testament for Christians, and then underneath that, there are misunderstandings about Sabbath. Now, in this particular lineup, it's going to talk about and address Sabbath as a word, Sabbath as a day, Sabbath as a sign, Sabbath as a reminder, Sabbath as a place, and Sabbath as it connects back to creation. All of that is found on one reference guide out there. So now that brings us to number two, principles of rest. This is two of four. Now, throughout this series, I have pulled out principles of rest based on the section of Scripture that we were working through. And I've been very careful to call all of these principles, principles for rest. Why did I do that? Because there's some of the text that we were in that the teaching, the truths were specific for Israel as a nation. Okay, very clear from context. But it doesn't mean there are not principles of wisdom we can glean from the text itself. So we put all of those together. Now, we've covered 14 principles of rest so far in this series. All of those are listed in your notes, and then all of those are listed again on the second card, plus a small explanation of each. The reason we did that is there's a good chance people will remember the basic idea of the principle, But they might forget, exactly what did that mean? We've now put a small definition to help remind people of each of the 14 principles that we have covered so far. Now, let me tell you why these principles are important and how it comes out in a daily application. Okay, principle number 12 that we covered on that list is rest is forfeited when we cling to sin. Do you all remember that principle? Okay, we just covered it in the last couple of weeks. All right, why is that a good principle to remember? Because you and I can take a full 24-hour period of time and not work. We can practice a form of Sabbath, both in its effort as well as in its time span. And yet, if we have unconfessed sin in our life, we will not experience rest the way God intended. All because you took time off work doesn't mean you step into God's rest. Because God's rest flows out of being rightly related to Him. There is a part of God's holiness that comes out in our ability to rest. Here's another one of those, another example. Principle number 3 in the list says rest includes elements of beauty and joy. There's a part of resting well, if you're following the example of God in creation, that He looked back and He said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. There's beauty in experiencing joy when it comes to true biblical rest. So if we were to stop and say, what brings joy? What brings enjoyment into our life? You might answer it different than me, but I'll give you one of the places that for me, it brings joy. I enjoy reading. I know some people don't enjoy reading. I enjoy reading. Okay, let me tell you why this principle is important. About a year and a half ago, I began to practice these different principles of Sabbath. And I had a list, a stack of these articles that I wanted to read. I'm like, it's my day of practicing Sabbath. I enjoy reading. This will be a great way to be refreshed. Well, I get into my stack of articles, and it was dealing with problems in the church, problems in culture, problems in economics, problems in family, and I walked away completely depressed after reading my articles that were supposed to bring me joy. My point in this is all because we are reading something that on one side is supposed to help bring joy. It doesn't mean it does. There's not only about what we read, but also how it connects back to joy itself. So all that being said, those pieces are right there on resource number 2. All right, so now preparing for rest. That is going to be the third resource. Preparing for rest is like an intake form when you go to a doctor's office or a counselor's office. It helps you evaluate your condition today. Did you know there are many things that get in the way of our rest today that we might not be connecting with unrest? You need to have questions that are pulling out, where are you at today? So that resource is going to walk people through things related to physical, emotional, mental, as well as spiritual health. There's going to be questions about the direction, the purpose, and changes in your life. It's going to help you pinpoint areas where God is leading you to address something or forsake something or do something different in your life. So all of those pieces are going to be on that card. But there's another piece that you're going to find there. A part of it is helping you understand who God made you to be. Amen. Everyone's different. And a part of you and I finding rest is knowing who God made us to be and leaning into that. Okay, so think of it like this. What fuels one person will drain another person. One of the best ways to see this is to think about the fact that God made some extroverts and some introverts. And for that extrovert, they're looking for the next party. They're looking for the next crowd. They're looking for the next group to talk with. For that introvert, they're looking for the next hole in the wall. They're looking for the next exit. They are looking for the next opportunity to get away from everything and everyone and just get alone with their thoughts. Okay, what fuels one person is going to drain the next person. Some people love a new adventure. Other people love predictable paths. Some people love celery. We don't know why. But it's out there. Like, in my mind, celery is like crunchy water with hair in it. It's gross. There's no reason for it. But at the same time, I love an occasional Brussels sprout, which other people also think is gross. So God made people different. It's okay. You need to know who God made you to be. Here's my point. Part of finding rest is taking time to know what fills you and also what drains you. Amen. For some people, not me, for some people, going to an amusement park fills them up. They love the thrill. They love the excitement. They love the people. They ride the rides. They see the people. They eat food you should never put in your body. They love every single part of that. And they walk away from a trip and they're excited. I get the same feeling of joy by myself in a quiet garden. God made us different. Now, if in your time of rest, you don't know who God made you to be, you could be doing something that everybody else says is restful, and you're like, I don't feel rest from that. That's a part of knowing who God made you to be. That resource will help you understand that. And here's the last piece, and that is on practicing rest. Practicing rest. That is resource 4 of 4. So the fourth resource is like a planning sheet and a journal entry combo. It's both of them coming together. There's a place that you can just use this as kind of a guide. There's a place that it's going to ask you a question about, write out your plans. What would you like to do on a day of rest? Or if you've got 4 hours of rest or whatever, you kind of write out some different thoughts. But then off to the side of that, hopefully whatever you write out is going to fill you and not drain you. Hopefully whatever you write out in that list is going to align with the 14 principles of rest that we have covered so far in the series. Now you're like, I don't know whether or not it aligns with those things. Well, once again, we're trying to help. So underneath that, there's another section over here that says, does my plan lead me to, and there's 14 ways to answer that question. Does it lead me to stop working? Does it lead me to find beauty and joy? Does it lead me to celebrate redemption? Does it lead me to live free? Like, there's 14 different ones. Why 14? Because those align with the 14 principles that we've gone through. You're like, Paul, I don't know what the 14 principles are. I got a card for you with a definition for you. That's what I'm saying. We're trying to make it something that you can connect piece by piece by piece by piece. And you're like, what if I don't get it right? That's why we're talking about practicing rhythms of rest. You're not going to get it right all the time, but we can continue to practice and we continue to learn. Right practice produces better results. There is a weekly reflection section that is on here. And the first question is, what did I learn, discover, or do this week that stretched me? How am I growing? Now, why in the world would we put something like that on a card dealing with rest? Well, some of the happiest people you will ever meet in your life who keep joy, they stay refreshed, are going to be those people who stay curious, they stay engaged, and they continue to learn for the rest of their life. There is joy in discovery. Whenever I find a new thought in a book, I get excited about it. Whenever I find a way to make a plant grow that's been dying in my yard prior to that moment, I get excited about that. I was driving with somebody the other day. They took me down this road. I'd never been down this road. It showed up at a place. I was like, I recognize this area. I got this incredible joy about going down a road I'd never been down in order to find out where the road went. There's joy in discovery, in learning, and growing. The issue is, are you doing it today? Because our next follow-up question is, what is God teaching me today? How is God blessing me this week? Not what did God teach you 2 years ago, or how did God bless 5 years ago, but how are you seeing God at work in your life today? All of those pieces are critical in us understanding what rest is all about. So as we close out today, I'm going to give you three final thoughts. These are not in your notes. Consider this to be extra credit, but just three final thoughts. First, you can write them down. They're simple. Christians are not commanded to practice Sabbath. We're not commanded to. We are under grace. We are not under law. Galatians 4, Romans 6. For those who choose to practice a form of Sabbath, they are free to do so. For those who choose not to practice a form of Sabbath, they are free to do so. Colossians 2:16 says this, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. In other words, there's freedom. Beautiful freedom. Second part, Christians are free to treat one day as special or every day as special. There's freedom here. If you want a reference for that, Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. It says, one person regards one day above another. One person regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind, for he who observes the day observes it for the Lord. You are free to find a day that works for you, free to have a day different than other people. The issue is not you have to do it. There's freedom in this. But here's the final thought. Christians gain incredible benefit by practicing some form of Sabbath. We will gain incredible benefit. Did you know God did not give us specific commands that we need to sleep 8 hours a night, we needed to exercise regularly, we need to eat healthy food, and we need to avoid refined sugar? There's no command specific to that. But you can look at basic wisdom and say, my life will be better if I follow those types of principles. There's a very similar piece that's happening here. We are not commanded, but there is an encouragement that we find in Scripture. There's a freedom, there's a joy. I'll also say it like this. When we look at the whole of Scripture, when we look at the problems related to stress, when we see the effects of overworking, when we see the negative impact on marriages and on families, the benefits of taking time for meaningful rest become absolutely apparent. God's rest is available to those who desire it. Be diligent to enter that rest. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow with me at this time. So as heads are bowed for just a moment, we're closing out this service. And my focus in closing out is just on the application side of things. That people see the value, that they see the opportunity to apply these pieces. So I don't know where you might be in your spiritual journey. You might have tried to have a day of rest somewhere in the past, and it was just too hard. If that's the case, I would encourage you, start with 4 or 5 hours of rest. Expand and grow that out from there. I would encourage you, continue to study what the Scriptures say about rest. It might be that some people right now are saying, I see the need, I see the importance, I just don't know how to do it. Pray that God gives you wisdom to do that. There's so much that comes by our humbling ourselves before God in need, and trusting that the Spirit in you will allow you to do what you could never do yourself. I don't know where everybody is at on this topic, but I encourage you to pursue it. It might be that there's people in here today that they have never entered right relationship with God, and if that's the case, that is a critical first step of experiencing God's rest. You'll never experience God's rest apart from God's Son. There might be people here today that they're saying, I've been a believer for a while, but I feel this constant inner voice saying, you got to do more, you got to do more. And I don't know how to make it go away. I encourage you, go back and listen to last week's message. This is a series you'd listen to multiple times. Wherever you might be, I encourage you, take the next step that God is prompting you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We ask, Lord, that you would guide us into what the application of rest looks like in each of our lives. How do we need you to do that? In Jesus' name. At this time, there's going to be some of our pastors and pastors' wives, some of our counselors along the front. There's going to be a final song of invitation, and we encourage people to respond as God leads them. If they want prayer, if they need somebody to talk to, whatever that might be, respond as God leads you. So at this time, if you would, stand with us. We're going to sing a final song, and the altar is open.